Peter chapter 5, this is somewhat of a familiar passage. I know a couple of these verses will be familiar to you. I'm sure most of you has heard them once or twice. 1 Peter chapter 5. Try to help you a little bit this morning, maybe even along with myself a little bit, but appreciate each one of you. Good looking crowd this morning. Thank you for being here. And it's a privilege to be able to come to church. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. Still here a couple pages turning. I'll give you just another moment. All right. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Well, there's a lesson a lot of us could learn right there in that one verse. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal, or called us and called into, I'll get it out in a minute. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Amen. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Father, we praise you again for this day together that you've given us, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to call upon you. Thank you once again, God, for your word, for it's everything we know about you and everything we know about us. Spiritually speaking, God, how to live our lives, how to conduct ourselves, everything we need to know, God, to live a life and, God, to be saved and live harmonious with you, Lord, and have blessings, God, from you in our life. We thank you for that and we praise you for it. God, I pray for those here this morning, the hearts and the minds that are here. God, I know no doubt everyone here is in a different place right now in their life. Some is probably, God, everything is perfect in life, and some is probably ready to say, I've had enough of life. And no doubt all points in between. And God, I pray that you touch the hearts as needed. Holy Spirit, please speak through me to them. Be with your people, God, and touch those. Lord, maybe there's somebody here that's lost that doesn't know you. God, we don't know that, but you do. And God, I pray that you draw people in the altar calls given. And we thank you and we praise you. In the Lord Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I could spend a lot of time here on these verses, and I don't want to get bogged down too much just in my introduction, but it's going to take me a few minutes to get this established and get this set up. The beginning of the first few verses of 1 Peter chapter 5, it basically tells me, as a pastor, as a preacher, how I need to live my life to please God, and how it tells me that I can win a crown for doing so. And then Peter takes the moment here to speak to all of us. And that's kind of what I want to focus on this morning, just for a little bit. I know that all of us suffer from satanic attacks, from spiritual attacks all the time, probably more so than what we realize and understand. Your life is probably hit more by him than what I think we realize sometimes and what we give. Sometimes we give him credit for stuff he doesn't do, no doubt. But I think there's a lot of times he is very guilty of a lot of things. And this morning, as I want to go back through this just for a moment and mention a couple other things when we get into the message, when he says, likewise, the younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Sometimes it's hard for younger people, even me sometimes, to look at someone older and submit myself to them and realize that they probably know more than what I think and realize, what I give them credit for. I've said this many times. The older I get, the smarter my parents and my grandparents get. I realize how far that they was with things and not out of touch with reality. Amen. They had a little more understanding than what I give them a whole lot of credit for sometimes growing up. I thought they were just old fogies, didn't know anything. They might have knew how to turn the computer on, but they knew about life.
Amen.
And And spiritually speaking, it should be this way. Those of us that's been saved for a while should have grown some, so the younger can look at us that way and get some ideas. Amen. Get some wisdom. May all of you be subject one to another. So it's also both ways. The older needs sometimes realize we might learn something from the younger generation. They might be able to help us. He said to everybody, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Clothed with humility means that we should have a humble presence about us, a humble spirit. Not be proud, not be arrogant. Notice what verse 6 says. He says, humble yourselves therefore in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We spend too much of the time, sometimes not everybody, trying to be noticed, trying to be understood, or we don't want to go along with this, or we don't that, or whatever. We make our own decisions rather than allowing God to make them for us and take some wisdom from God's word and from other people. The example that's been lived. He says, humble yourselves therefore in the mighty hand of God. You're not humbling yourself to me or nobody else. You should be humbling yourself to God and bow to him and do what God says, whether we like it or not. And he says in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I don't just give some of my care to God. He tells us to give it all to him. Why? Because he cares for us. I've read in a book, been reading a book on and off lately, and I'd like to preach sometime on this one thing. He says we think that somehow that if we submit ourselves to God and we follow him, it's like God will say, now I've got you where I want you. Now I can really pour it on you. Would your parents do that to you if you did what they asked him to do? Would they not reward you, help you, encourage you, rather than turning the screws up on you? Well, if we've been evil, the Bible says, know how to treat our kids good, I think God can treat us a lot better than our parents. But too much of the time, the devil's got us convinced that if we submit ourselves to God, God's really going to wreck our life. It's the opposite, folks. He cares for you. He says, be sober, be vigilant. Sober here means spiritually and mentally. Now, you shouldn't remain sober drug-wise, drink-wise all the time as well. And if it takes you 5 beers to get drunk and you drink 1 beer, guess what? You're a fifth of the way drunk. You're no longer sober. He says, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion who walks about seeking whom he may devour. We're going to talk more about this in a minute. I'm trying to, he said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Notice how he said, whom resist steadfast in the faith. It's the faith that God put in you that gave you that you were to resist him by. The faith in God, not in yourself, not in something else, not in no one else, but simply the Bible and God's Word and Holy Spirit's leadership. And listen, you're not some special case out here that's the only one going through things. He's knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in the brethren. Hey, it's in all of us. All of us have our afflictions. All of us have our struggles. All of us have our battles. All of us are going through something. Don't ever think that you're isolated, that God drew your name out of the hat and said, man, I'm not only going to give them just a week or two, I'm going to give them a full month of affliction. No, we all have our turn. But to God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory, but Christ Jesus, after he had suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Notice the words, after they have suffered a while. Well, I'm going to title this a little bit different, but we're going to kind of take that thought. Do not be deceived. You will suffer a while. Everybody is. You may not be today, but you will. As crushing as that may sound, heaven on earth is not going to happen, folks. The closest you're going to get to heaven on earth is living in the will of God and doing what God tells you and I to do. Obeying him, honoring him, and being obedient to what he says, what his word says. Listen, earth is not going to get any better. Roll back the curtain about 2,000 years, and yeah, there have been times of greatness. Roll back the curtain on America 250 years. Yeah, there were times of glory, times of wonderful times, and it's still at times like, but it's never going to be heaven here on earth. Go ahead and get that out of your head. It's not going to happen. Now, in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, Paul wrote a text, wrote a message there to the Corinthians, and he was telling them he didn't want to come down too hard on them. He didn't want to discourage them. He didn't want to be discouraged to them because he said, when I get there, who's going to encourage me? He said, if I walk in downtrodden and lip dragging the ground, then you're not going to pick me up. I'm not able to pick you up. We got to try to lift each other up. And there was a fellow that had sinned. And he told him, he said, forgive him. Don't hold him too far down. Don't ostracize him too much that he'll get discouraged and quit. But in the middle of all that, Paul, through Holy Spirit, said 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. The Bible has told us many times and places of some of Satan's devices. I mean, there's not like that. He does come from left field sometimes and we don't expect it. But we should know how when he attacks, we should sometimes recognize it's him. He uses everything he can to discourage us. He uses our family, our church family, our friends, me. Sometimes I preach things and say things and people get upset and mad at me and stuff. And folks, I'm trying to help you whether you realize that or not. Our work can discourage us. He'll use things at work. Let me give you something to think about just for a minute. This won't go over real good probably, but it's okay. I need it too. You know, one of my biggest battles right now in life is pop. Pop to me is like crack to a drug addict. I mean, it is my cocaine. And I need to quit drinking it because I'm on two types of stomach medicine because my stomach is so tore up. I'm getting a little bit too much of a stomach. And I just want to quit drinking it. But it's like, it's such a temptation. And you know what is involved in that as much as anything is sugar as well. And you say, what's that got to do with the message? Because every time I cave in and drink a Mountain Dew or a Coke that I know is going to hurt me, it's like Satan says, man, look at your willpower. And he'll use that, turn that on me spiritually every time. He'll say, here you say you're going to fast and stuff, leave that stuff alone. You can't even leave it alone for 2 days. And he'll use anything he can to attack you. That's the point I want to make in my little personal illustration. And we could go on and on and on about all the things he uses, money, spouses. I mean, I could go on to kids for now on. It's endless. But the Bible warns us of this and shows him for who he is and what he is. And we must recognize who he is at times and get a hold of that and quit blaming the wrong things and the wrong people. Don't be deceived. You're going to suffer a while, but there's blessings in the end. Don't worry. Don't be deceived. There's a day coming that it's going to be a beautiful day. So number one, I'm going to take you through the Bible a little bit this morning so you don't have to turn here with me in these places. You can if you like, but I'm not going to stay real long. But number one, he appears as a friend. Satan is really good at coming across as a friend. He came to Eve in the garden and showed himself as if he was on her side. He showed himself as her friend, and like he was there for her, and that he wanted to help her, like he wanted what was best for her. He's like, hey, this is really what's best for you. This is really good for you. God's holding out on you. He's not really wanting you to live the fullest life you can live. Imagine if you did this, how much better your life would be. See, God's keeping things from you. God is not your friend. I'm your friend because I'm the one telling you this. Does that not sound familiar sometimes? He will come at you as though he'll make himself as your friend, knowing deep inside that what you're hearing, what you're feeling, what you're thinking, something is off, something's wrong, something's not right. The very people that loved you the most sometimes, that tries to encourage you the most, is who he's trying to turn you against and say, look at what they said, look at what they did, look how they treated you, when all the while, a lot of times, they are totally ignorant of what you're upset about. He wants to show you as his friend. He got her to eat of the tree. We know the story. And she gave to her husband. They were both naked. Then they were alone. They had to hide themselves from God. This is tonight's message, but we'll give you just a little rundown here because it goes with this one. But he came across as a friend, and he knew full well the consequences of what was going to be the results of that act when she did it. And all the while, he was cheering her on. That's how bad he hates you. He comes as a friend. He's no friend. He's a foe. Number two, he wants to change your focus. And he'll use anything to get your eyes off of God. He don't care what it is. Sometimes he'll even make it seem justifiable. If you remember, there was a fella who the Bible speaks about pretty highly. His name was Abraham. And he did quite a few things for God. He followed God just basically in a land that hands not made with human hands, but made of God. And God said, "You'll be the father of all children. Your seed right under the sand by the sea." And all kinds of things is spoken positive about Abraham. But here Abraham and his wife Sarah come through a little tribe there one time. And apparently she was a pretty good looking woman. And he looked and he said, "If I tell them you're my wife, they're going to kill me and take you. So tell them you're my sister. Therefore, they won't bother us." So they come into town. Abraham said, "Yeah, this is my sister." So the king of the tribe there, she's a pretty good looking woman. I think I'm going to marry her for a while. She's going to become my babe. And he took her on his side, said, "Come on, honey, walk with me." And here Abraham sat there and watched it happen. And that night, God visited him and said, "The woman you're touching is a married woman, and you're about to sin in a way that's going to destroy your tribe." And he comes to Abraham and said, "Hey, what's going on here?" He said, "Well, she's my sister. I told you because I was afraid if I told you she was my wife, you would kill me." He said, "Why would you do this to me? Why would you bring this harm onto my family and onto me?" Because Satan appeared as a friend to Abraham at that time, and he also got his focus off of God and on his fears and on himself. Anytime there's satanic attacks in your life, he's going to get your focus off of God and on you or the situation around you to convince you that if you don't do this or do that, you're going to fall, you're going to fail, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer if you listen to him is what you're going to do. You always will. The Bible didn't hide it. God said after you suffer for a while, he'll make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. If you'll just let God have his way, we might suffer a little bit, but the day's coming, he's going to make you perfect. He's going to establish you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to settle you. But for a while, you might have to endure. But let me tell you something. What little bit you got to endure by obeying God is a whole lot less than what you'll endure by doing things Satan's way. I promise you. How easily that story could have ended different with Abraham. We got Lot. He got his eyes on the plains of there looking at Sodom. And each day, each week, he moved just a little bit closer to Sodom until he finally became one of them, lost his whole family. Peter, we can use different examples of Peter, cut the soldier's ear off, walked on water and started to sink because he took his eyes off Christ. And he changed his focus for just a little bit. When Peter was walking on the water, it took him all of, what I understand the Bible, a couple seconds at the most to start sinking. Folks, that's all it takes for Satan to get a hold of you and change your focus. It doesn't take long. We got to keep our focus on God. We got to realize Satan will appear as a friend. He want to change your focus. Number three, he's full of fairy tales. A lot of times when we pray, he brings up anything and everything he can to get you off your mind, back off of praying. And I mean, I'll kneel down and pray at times, and my mind, the next thing I know, I'm hunting Molly Moogers, I'm riding four-wheelers, I'm shooting deer, I'm driving through Charleston. I mean, I can go on and on and on at what I'm doing. And here I'm sitting there, man, I'm in my kneeled down position, I'm praying, and I mean, I'm working a job. I mean, everything. Anything. And he's full of fairy tales. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 44, he says, "Ye are not of your father the devil." He's speaking to the Pharisees. "And the lust of your father he will do." And here's what I want to get to. He said he was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. I know a few people like that. When he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Hey, your Bible, all through the Bible, you can see Satan being deceitful with lies, making up stuff, convincing people something that wasn't true, going against what God says, going against directly what God's Bible tells us. He told Adam and Eve, he said, he commanded them not to eat of the tree. He gave them one commandment, one and only one. And Satan convinced Eve that he was a friend, that he was there for her. He was giving her everything she needed. He changed her focus off of what God said onto what he said and on herself. And the next thing you know, she's in the middle of a bunch of foolishness because he gave her a fairy tale. And he does you and I the same way. When Job, all the problems Job had in a matter of moments, he lost all of his animals. He lost all of his belongings. He lost all of his kids, all his servants, everything gone, wiped out in a matter of moments. The only ones that survived was one servant after another to come and tell him what had just happened. And yet then, that wasn't enough. Satan said, "Well, he stood up to that, but let me touch him. Let me just make him sick, and he'll curse thee to thy face." And God said, "Okay, he is yours, but don't kill him." So Satan basically made Job as miserably sick as he possibly could. And the very woman he needed the most in his life, the greatest support, strength he had, looked at him. She said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" I wonder where that thought came from. Sometimes he'll use those closest to you to get to you. He speaks lies. And I've said this many times. The only time he tells the truth, it's to set up a lie. And that's it. He'll appear as a friend. And he'll get you to change your focus. He'll give you a line full of fairy tales. Let's look back here real quickly now in our text verse. A couple things. And then we'll move along here. He says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. He, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble." You know how you stay in tune with God? By staying humble before him. By staying in prayer. Staying in his presence. Staying in his word. And listen, much as anything, where's your heart today? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And many times our treasure is somewhere else but the presence of God, not wanting what he desires. He desires the best for you. He wants the greatest for you. But our treasure, too much of the time, is somewhere out there and not in here. And not in the presence of God. Not spending time with him. Are you, when's the last time, families, you've knelt down with your kids there in your living room or in your bedroom and gathered them around and prayed over them, took a Bible study, did these things? When's the last time you had a problem, you took your kids to God and said, "This is how we solve problems in this family"? Is that a practice in your home? If not, there's a day coming that he's going to appear friendly to your kids. He's going to get their focus off of God and on this world. Is church and God the most important things in your life? Because I'll promise if you're not, that's what you're teaching your kids. Amen. Then their focus will be on things of this world. You're going to wake up one day and say, "Oh God, how? Why?" Sometimes the best we can do, that still happens. But if you're not showing your kids, church comes first. Life revolves around God and church, not the other way around. Amen. You're believing the fairy tales he's telling you. Amen. Folks, I promise you, the suffering, just a little bit we got to go through here for God, is well worth everything we're going to endure to get when we get to glory. He says, "Humble yourselves therefore in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Eve, the problem with Eve is she wanted to be exalted. She wanted to know what it's like to be God. Abraham said, you know what? I'm not going to trust God on this one. I'm going to go out on a limb and take care of things myself. When he lied about Sarah being his spouse, got his focus off, believe the fairy tales. "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, let me give you a couple things here and we'll move on. We cast all our care upon God because he cares for you. Then the Bible says, what's it say next? Be sober, be vigilant. The reason the word sober comes next is because after you cast all your care upon him, you can't start believing all the fairy tales that's coming. You've got to be soberly, mentally, spiritually minded. You're going to suffer for a while. The Bible just told that to you. I just read it to you. And he's going to see to it that he tells you that if somebody loved you, they wouldn't say these things or do these things. And all the while, a lot of times, they have no clue that you're even upset they've done anything. Why? Because it comes from the father of lies. And all the while, he's trying to get you to believe all this other stuff, all these fairy tales, all these things to turn you against God, turn you against people, and get you convinced that God's the one holding out on you. God's not the one you should be listening to. You need to do things your way, not God's way. Why do you think we got so many people moving in together without getting married? Because they do things their way, not God's way. They believe the fairy tales. I've even heard of Christian people suggesting couples move in together and live together and not get married because to see if you like it. All right, no, you don't do that. That's not what God's word says. I promise it won't turn out like you want it to. So many things he warns us about. Just because we cast our care on God doesn't mean the hurt and our problems are going to go away or change. Let me give you a quick example, and I don't mean to go on about this, but if I use myself, nobody can get mad at me for using me. Now, some of you I like to aggravate and pick on sometimes. But hardest thing I've ever went through in my life, I guess, one of the hardest, is my dad passing away. You've heard me say, beside Jesus and my wife, he was my best friend. So many times, so many things over the last few weeks, I wanted to talk to Dad about. I wanted to tell Dad. I wanted to share. So many things, I can't even begin to tell you. And no matter how much it hurts, I put my care on the Lord, but that hurt doesn't leave. It's still there. You see, God will help us. He'll carry us through. But that doesn't mean all the hurt, all the suffering is just going to magically float away. Folks, it doesn't work like that. The Bible does not teach that. That is why these words are so strong when he tells us, after he told us to cast all our care upon him, I can still cast my care upon God. I still talk to God. And at times I said, God, I sure wish my dad was still here. Lord, I understand that's the cycle of life, but God, that don't make it any easier. It don't make me any happier that he's no longer here with me. I still don't care for it. You talk to God like that? Yeah, I talk to him sometimes just like I talk to you. He knows it. It's not like I'm hiding it from him. I try not to be irreverent or disrespectful to the Lord, but it's not like he doesn't see it and know it. And so all the while, guess who else is watching this? Satan. And if he can convince you that God doesn't love you as much as somebody else because of anything in your life and because the pain doesn't go away, he's got you where he needs you. He'll now appear as a friend. He'll now come to you with a bunch of foolish talk and get your focus off of God, off of what matters, and he'll get you directed in the way he wants you to go, and then he will devour you. And that brings us to our next point. I've heard messages preached about being devil food. I want to point out one more thing to you, then we'll get to the devil food. Got ahead of myself. I'm bringing her down here. So 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 are verses that you should memorize. You should have verse 8 here memorized in 1 Peter, and you should have 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, and 5 pretty much to memory. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing exalted itself against the knowledge of the holy, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The next thing Satan will do, he appears as a friend, he changes your focus, he gives you a full of fairy tales, and he'll build a fortress in your mind. He'll put a stronghold up. I've got a book, I recommend you get it. R.B. Ouellette wrote it about strongholds in our mind. And so many things can become a stronghold. Your past, an addiction. Let me stop here for a minute. When we hear addiction, it seems like all we think about is drugs and alcohol. Folks, addictions are a whole lot more than just them two. There's another one that's way more common that we don't talk about. I mentioned it now, and it's pornography. It's rampant. Morgan's kind of the one that showed me this. And I'm telling you, I wish, I know some of you may not be able to, I wish more people would come to Sunday school. You can learn from him if you'll come. If you'll just get out of bed and come. I don't like to get out of bed on Sunday mornings either, but I do. But sometimes we get addicted to ourselves. And you know what? As the more you taught that, I can see that in the Bible. Clearly. Our phones. Man, that's a huge one. It could be anything. And anything to get us turned away from God and turn another direction. But so no matter what it is in your life, Satan will build up a fortress in your mind and convince you that this time you messed up too far. This time you can't get out of this. Look, you've messed up again. How many times you can go through this before you give up? You notice God loved you. He wouldn't let you go through that. If God loved you, he'd deliver you from that. If God loved you, God on and on and on. He tells you that all the while, whatever's going on in your mind, it's a fortress he has built up. And you've got to tear that down. You have to. I can't do it for you. God will help you. God can't do it for you. You have to be the one to do it through and by the power of Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And believing in faith that what God told you was best for you. Right. Not the lies of Satan. When Peter was being tempted, and Jesus told him, he said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you, that he may shift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Know that Jesus prays for me. He said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Faith. What's the problem? He didn't have faith. He got to keep faith in God, that what God's word says, no matter how you feel, no matter how the circumstances are, no matter how it looks, no matter what it is, that fortress he'll get built up in your mind. And I'm telling you, it takes some special forces sometimes to break through that thing. But you've got to. And you got to keep faith in God. You got to ask God to give you a verse. You got to keep focused on Him, looking to Him, and He will bring it to pass. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called you into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after He have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Amen. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Satan wants the glory and the dominion. Now here's my last one. You've got a fortress, and he wants you to be food for his devouring. Because the Bible says he walks around seeking whom he may devour. Let me ask you, how devourable are you in certain areas of your life? He's always looking for your weaknesses. He'll leave at times. He does, because you resist him. He'll leave for a season, but he'll come back. So much of the time he uses our own lust against us. You say, how do I do this, preacher? How do I keep this from happening? Well, I'm glad you asked. I knew you would eventually. Well, one, real simple. You got to fill your mind with God's word, prayer, godly music, and praise him with your mouth. And tear down the strongholds of Satan. We have to, sometimes, there's times I'll be going on the road, and man, I'll get so oppressed, I'll get down, I'll get discouraged, and I hate everybody here. Don't look at me like that. You get mad at me sometimes too. I don't hate you. That may have been a little bit tad of a strong word. I'm good at saying things bad on a stupid thing. I get upset and aggravated. And then I'll start thinking, where's this coming from? This ain't from God. This is not from Jesus. This is from that foe. He's a liar. He's wanting to pierce my friend, and he's wanting to destroy me right now. And I'll just sometimes start praising God and thanking him. You say, for what? For saving me. For being my friend. For being there with me. For protecting me. For my family. For my home. For my finances. For my health. For my job. For this church. For each one of you. For all the opportunities he's given me in life. For the food that he's put on my table. For the shoes on my feet. The clothes on my back. The home that I lay my bed. I lay my head in. That I've got a pillow. I can name and name and name and name things God has done for me. And most of all, he saved me and given me life and given me hope beyond this world. And one day I'm going to go home and be with him in heaven, where there'll be no more devil, be no more sin, be no more frustration, be no more heartache, no more pain. Hey, I'm telling you, God is good to you and I. We must believe that. You got to believe that, because he showed us that over and over and over. Yes, Satan lies with his constant nagging. Tell him you're a child of God. You are a child of God. God has given you faith, fortitude, and a future to live in. And he's given you a church family here to help you with to win. You're his child. He's going to take care of you. Let me say this and I'm done. So much of the time, he uses our own lusts and desires against us. He watches us and knows us. Now, if you remember at the beginning, I mentioned about how he tells us that everybody and everything's against us. How he wants to make things look wrong when they're right. And I also told the story from that book that I read that mentioned that I said, so much of the time we think if we really submit ourselves to God and really trust him and really say, I'm going to do what's right no matter what, that God's going to really pour it on me, that my life is going to be turned inside out. Because we read one story in the Bible about Job and we think that applies to everybody. And that's the one story Satan wants to show us. Or we read about some of Paul's sufferings. You think, well, Paul suffered. Let me tell you something. Paul had revelations that you and I will never receive. That's why one of the reasons he suffered the way he did. He was a very unique individual. But Satan wants to convince you that the moment that you submit yourself to God, that he's going to somehow just destroy your life. And most of the time, he's got us convinced of that. He is not your friend. He is your foe. God is your friend. Let me say this. I'll use you and you. I like to pick on you. It just does something for me. Overall, I would say I've done a decent job raising your children. Kids in college, doing pretty well. I like to see them here. But overall, they don't give you too much problem. You raised your kids. Did y'all go to college? Jeremy did. So you're the brains of the outfit, huh? I know you really want to be like Zach. Instead of Mike, you want to be like Zach. I want to be like. Anyway. But you raise your kids successfully, what we would consider for the most part. Now, some people would disagree with that because they didn't go to college. They don't have some kind of special job. They don't this, they don't that. But overall, they're there. Now, growing up, as your kids did what you asked them to do, did you make their life worse or better?
Better.
They got more freedom, didn't they? If you told them to be in by 11 o'clock and they rolled in at 1 o'clock, probably didn't go over very good, did they? if you two know how to treat your kids good,
right. Amen.
And bless their life more by doing what's right, don't you think God will do that for us? He loves us way more than these two men could ever love their kids. And I know these two men, and I know they love their children. But God will love you so much more if we'll just do things His way. And resist the devil. Resist the temptation. Throw it off. Don't listen to it. Don't buy into it. Leave it alone. When he starts feeding you lies, recognize who it's from and say, this is from Satan, not from God, and I'm going to trust Jesus. It'll always turn out better. Every time that I manage to give just a little bit more to God and trust Him a little bit more and take another step, He's blessed me beyond measure. Yeah, I've given up some things, and it's not all been rosy. But I sure like God's path a whole lot more than what Satan's offered me. And you will too. Let me say this, young'uns. You got one shot at life. In anything innocent wise you give up, you'll never get it back.
Right. Amen.
It's gone. Rather be ignorance of partying, boys, girls. By the way, if you're a girl, you date boys, natural born boys. If you're a boy, you date natural born girls. And that's all. I didn't think I'd ever have to say natural born. Once you open a door to sin, you can never shut it.
Right.
You can't ever go back. It's with you the rest of your life.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. You're not missing out.
Amen.
You're gaining. Don't listen to the lies. Father, we thank you again for this time together. And God, I pray that I have did this some justice. Lord, I tried to preach what I believe you gave me this morning the best way I knew how. Lord, I can never explain your word to somebody like you can. I can't put it in people's hearts what they need, but you can. God, I pray that people would hear a message like this and recognize and realize that we need to all be more devoted to you. Too much of the time, God, when it comes to reading the Bible, when it comes to praying, when it comes to church, we suddenly have better things to do. My, what that says to you, how that must make you feel, to think that we don't even care enough about you to do those basic things. Sometimes we act like church is a burden. God, church is a privilege and an honor, and I appreciate it. Your Bible, it's a privilege and honor to have one. Help us to use it more. Prayer is something that nobody can take from us. They may take our Bible. They may take our health. God, they may take everything that they can humanly possibly take. But they can't take you, and they can't take prayer. Help us to recognize the power, the privilege and honor of prayer. Lord, you're so good to us. You're so merciful and gracious. And you give us showers with blessings. Help us to recognize that and see you for what you are. And we praise you. In Jesus, your name we pray. Amen. I don't know where your heart's at this morning, what your need is. But if God has spoken to you, I would invite you to come to this altar and pray. If something in your life that maybe you say, you know what, I'm not giving God my best. And I'm believing the lie. I'm being deceived in this way or that way. Why don't you come do business with Him? Talk with God just for a few moments and ask for His help. Say, Lord, I'm not going to make a bunch of promises. I just want to tell you I want to do better and give Him your best. Decide that you're going to. Sometimes we got to make a decision that my life is going to revolve around my Bible and my prayer time and church, not the other way around. As we sing and as we stand.